Amen. That's a great mother-daughter duo right there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies, for that. What a blessing. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And I want to share some encouraging thoughts this morning. I hope you can stick with me. I know maybe you have a reservation or a nice home-cooked meal planned or a special time. But let's take a look at God's Word this morning for some encouragement, for some instruction, and ask that God would help us. Let's look at Proverbs 23, and we'll read from verse 22 through verse 25. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." And I want to preach a message entitled this morning, "She that bare thee shall rejoice." Let's pray. Lord, would you help us now as we look at your word? Would you encourage our hearts? Would you speak to us? Lord, our goal is to be a blessing this morning. I pray that by your Spirit, the truths that we examine, you would help them to take root in the lives of all the moms, but all of us today as believers, that we would walk in the way of wisdom that you have outlined for us. Help us to walk in what you have designed in your infinite love and wisdom for us in creating the family, motherhood, fatherhood, children. And Lord, our goal is to do our best to honor that design today. So would you have your way and minister to all of our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bob Green in the Detroit Free Press did a study in 1981 detailing the monetary value of a wife's services in the home. And he listed various functions she would perform. A chauffeur, gardener, family counselor, maintenance worker, cleaning person, housekeeper, cook, errand runner, bookkeeper, budget manager, interior decorator, caterer, dietitian, secretary, public relations, hostess. And using this impressive list, he calculated in 1981 that figure that came out to be $40,823.64 a year, that if adjusted for inflation would be over $120,000 a year. That's all that a mother can do, and many more we can even add to that list in our homes. Don't take that for granted. Someone said this, "Man works from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done." You know, motherhood is a blessing, and my hope this morning is to be an encouragement to all the moms, to be encouraged that you have a divine calling that God has given you, that you are perfectly made for that calling. He wanted you to mother those children that you have and no one else, by His infinite wisdom and design. And we should all be thankful for the mothers that we have. The Bible has a lot to say about motherhood, and so we all need to be thankful for godly moms that helped us and encouraged us along the way. And so again, motherhood is a divine calling. It's a part of God's natural order. It's a part of God's original design for us. And I hate so much the attack on God's design today. You know, I was reading recently, leading medical journals and people in our country today are confused about what a family is and even what motherhood is. Maybe you heard Harvard Medical Journal recently use the term birthing people to refer to moms. Birthing people. Think about that term for just a second. Who gives birth? Who gets pregnant? Only women can give birth. There ought not be a question about that. But they use the term birthing people, and they said this. They wanted to include those who identify as non-binary or transgender because not all who give birth identify as women or girls. Beloved, back in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God created man and woman. That's it. He created husband and wife. He created mother and father. That's God's design. That's God's plan. You can't improve upon what God created. And many people are so confused today. There's great evil. The devil is really behind it, trying to change all of that. Years ago, in the Franklin Elmont Herald, here locally, our local paper here, on their Mother's Day issue, they published an article entitled, Mothering is Mothering. And in that article, they featured two lesbians who lived in Malvern, who are raising two children, a little boy and a little girl. And the article said, I don't think there's any real difference. Parenting is parenting. No. There is a difference. There's a big difference when we depart from what God has created and what God has designed. And no amount of social engineering and liberal brainwashing and politics and policies and all this stuff they're trying to force on us, no amount of that is going to change what God has established. What God has established must stand. And we must stand for what God has created. We ought not run from God's wisdom, God's love in designing the family. One man, one woman, committed to each other in marriage, procreating, having children. That's God's design. And so we stand against people that are trying to corrupt and chip away at the foundation of our society and of our morality. May we not stray away from emphasizing that. This morning in our church, we have many single moms. Many of you know I was raised primarily in a single parent home with a single mom. And I thank God for single moms that are doing an especially hard work. But even they would stand up here with you and tell you that God's design is best for a mother and a father to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We ought not be afraid to say that. We ought not be ashamed of what God has designed for us and emphasize that. And so this passage that we're looking at here in Proverbs 23 teaches us that children of righteousness and wisdom will bring great joy to their moms. Children who walk in righteousness, who walk in wisdom, will bring great joy. And I want to bring great joy to all the moms this morning. And I want to bring great honor and joy, most importantly, to the Lord. And so let's consider, how can we make moms rejoice? She that bare thee shall rejoice. Verse 22 says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. This is an exhortation to listen. An exhortation to listen. The book of Proverbs is a book written by the wisest and wealthiest, and some say the most powerful man in history, King Solomon. And while Proverbs is primarily written to young people, any one of us can grow in wisdom. Wisdom, someone said this, wisdom is the capacity of the mind to understand life from God's perspective. Wisdom allows me to step back and take the big picture look and look at life from God's perspective. And throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon encourages us to get wisdom. They that have wisdom love life, that it's better to get wisdom than gold, and that those who get wisdom find life and will receive favor from the Lord. So we need wisdom. And throughout the book of Proverbs, it's very clear that wisdom oftentimes is acquired from generation to generation. That wisdom gets passed down from generation to generation. And that it's a blessing for the younger to learn from the aged. Amen? The more experienced. It's a blessing and it's a principle in the Word of God. We ought not run away from that. It also means moms and dads have a wonderful privilege of passing down wisdom. And that means, moms and dads, you must yourself be walking in wisdom, walking in righteousness, and walking with God. And the Bible is clear. Children need to take heed. That means to hearken, to listen with the intent of obeying. My mom used to always joke around, there's a difference between hearing and listening. And so she's calling for dinner, and I'm playing video games or playing basketball outside, and maybe I hear her calling, but I'm not listening until I actually realize, oh, she's dead serious. I need to get my behind to the dinner table right now. That's hearkening, that you listen with the intent that I have to go ahead and do this. And that's what the Bible is saying here. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And so children need to take heed. Take time to listen. All of us, take time to listen to believers that have been on the path for a good while now. You know, some people shy away from traditionalism. And we're always trying to look for the new. We're living in a society that what's the new thing? What's the new fashion thing that we need to do? And I can appreciate new things and new technology and new methods. They can be a blessing, but listen, there's something about sticking to the old paths. There's something to sticking to the tried and true path. The well-worn path that has shown us there is a way to live that is righteous. There is a way to live that is wise, that will be a blessing in your life. I read a story of young people that were lost in the woods, and one of them saw a path that looked like it was a well-worn path, and they said, "That's the way we need to go to get out of here." His friends asked why. He said, "Because others have gone down here and been able to escape and find and get out." And that's what wisdom is. It's looking at the well-worn path and realizing that I can learn from this. Take heed, hearken. And so wisdom can never be learned until the attention is won. There must be a deliberate effort to listen and to learn from the elderly, from the aged. Go with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Well, let's start reading actually Titus 2, verse 2. It says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, the verses that I just read to you, the women's lib people would have a heart attack if they read some of these verses. Because we can't be traditional. Why? How dare we do that? That's so backwards. And I want to tell you that the word of God is infinite. It's eternal. It lasts forever. Is a moral principle that all generations must think about, consider, and apply. And it's very clear from the Word of God that God has a place, a wonderful place for mothers and for wives. And we ought not shy away from teaching that. We ought not shy away from embracing what God has designed for women. And notice the Bible says that the older teach the younger. And I think about my wife. And I'm so thankful for my mother-in-law. Amen. We can be thankful for our mother-in-laws. Amen. And my mother-in-law is great. She's a blessing. And every time I talked to her, I said, "Thank you for raising her the way you did." Because she's a great wife and a great mother to our daughter. She's a great support system. Our home, our family would not be able to operate without her. I mean, I'm a bumbling mess, I'll just be honest with you. But she's such a blessing, and she's supportive, and she has my back, and of course I have hers. And why? Because her mom raised her that way. She's a great cook. She's the best cook there is. Her mom raised her that way. And she fulfills these scriptures because her mom raised her that way. And so this is a blessing. And this is important. This is a blessing that we ought not shy away from. That God has roles. God has expectations. And we can fulfill them and be a blessing in the family. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible talks about the role of children. Children, obey your parents. That's God's expectation for children. That you don't run the family, you don't run the home, your parents do. Parents said amen right there. You know, I know in America today a lot of people think, well, you know, we don't want to stifle their self-esteem, and so we always have to say yes and let them have their way, and you know, that's, we just don't want to hurt their self-esteem. And let me tell you something, that God, He's given us eternal principles, tried and true. We ought not run away from them. He said that children are to obey parents, not the other way around. Children obey parents, and parents are to raise their children in the nurture. That's love, encouragement, positive reinforcement. Admonition, that's rebuke, correction. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible says don't provoke your children to wrath. Right? So God gives us guidelines here as raising children. And children are called to obey their parents. And so for some children and some young people here this morning, the greatest gift you could actually give to your mom on Mother's Day is your obedience, is your submission, your obedience, because you can say, "Mom, I know you have my best interest at heart, and I could submit to your rules. I can submit to your leadership, Mom and Dad. I can obey and do what the Bible says." And the Bible says it's a blessing, that it may be long with you. Your life, you'll have a long life through your obedience. It's a promise that God gives when children practice obedience to their parents. God promises that I'll bless your life for it. I'll extend your life for it. Don't you want that? Isn't that tremendous? And so God calls for children to obey their parents. Someone said an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. That was a Spanish proverb, and of course we don't believe in priests, but we think about the influence of a Christian home, godly moms and godly dads. It makes a difference. It made a difference in my life, I'll tell you that much. Praying moms. Moms that take time to read the Bible with their families. The great president, Abraham Lincoln, said, "All that I am, I hope and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And so motherhood, it's a tremendous blessing. As exhortation number one, to listen, take heed. But then number two, we must have the right attitude. How can we bring joy to mom? "See that bear thee shall rejoice." Number two, have the right attitude. In Proverbs chapter 23, let's go back to our text. Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not." In other words, get it as earnestly as you can, as eagerly as you can. Let's look at verse 24. It says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice." And so we need to have the right attitude to encourage biblical motherhood. It's an exhortation to honor our parents and to honor moms, particularly this Mother's Day. To obey is the action. To honor is the attitude and mindset. In other words, you can obey without honoring. Did you know that? You know, you can say, mom and dad can say, "Hey, go clean your room," and you stomp your feet and throw a fit, slam the door, and you go inside and clean your room, and you obeyed, but you didn't honor. You see, honoring is the attitude, it's the mindset, it's the spirit. Hey, maybe at home you do what's right, but then when you're out with your friends, you say, "Oh, my mom and dad, they're no good. Oh, you down talk, downplay your parents." A lot of children do that. So maybe you're obeying, but you're not honoring. And so, by the way, obedience, obviously, as folks grow older, that shifts, that changes some, but honoring is forever. We are to always honor our parents, no matter how young or how old you are. We honor our father and our mother. And so it's the right attitude. And so I want to, today's the day we honor moms. It's Mother's Day. And guess what? Who leads the way in doing this in the home? Guess what? It ought to be the dads. It ought to be the fathers. And don't worry, fathers. I'm coming for you on Father's Day. Don't worry. But today, I'll just give you a little preview. Fathers ought to lead the way in honoring mothers. In other words, you ought to teach your children, you better love your mother, respect her, appreciate her. Fathers set the tone. That means fathers don't down-talk their mother, a child's mother in front of them. You uphold her. This is a godly woman that God has given. You ought to love her, respect her, cherish her, obey her. Fathers lead the way in honoring mothers. And children will see how you treat their mother. Yeah, the kids see how dads treat mom, and they feel like, well, then that's how I'll treat mom, too. That dad doesn't really seem to appreciate her very much. Dad doesn't love her very much. Dad doesn't care for her very much, and maybe I won't either. And so dads lead the way in honoring mothers. So this Mother's Day, take today, for example, we take this day to honor moms, but it's not just about giving her one day off a year. It's not just about one day a year. It's a reminder that we can treat her, respect her every day of the year, that she's special. We ought to cherish and love her. And the best Mother's Day gift is all 52 Sundays of the year, every day of the year, you honor mom and you love mom. You give her the respect and affirmation she deserves. And so this morning we acknowledge that mothering and parenting is not for the faint of heart. It's a thankless job oftentimes. But God knows all about thankless parenting and leading. That's how God is as our Heavenly Father. But I want to say thanks to all our moms today. And I want us to affirm, especially biblical motherhood today. It's a divine calling, as I said earlier. It's a divine calling. If God has enabled you to be a mom, don't take that lightly. Don't diminish that as if it's just something that you can just set aside and not really focus on. That ought to be the major priority of your life if you're a mom here this morning. Today, Many parents, many moms feel the pressure to work outside of the home, and they take on extra work, but maybe you realize you're taking on an extra load beyond what God has called you to be as a mother as well. In other words, don't neglect this calling. And today we're living in a day where our government is helpful, is happy to provide programs to, hey, we'll help you watch the kids and raise the kids for you and do all of that. But can I tell you, sometimes what might be a help can also hurt. Because where we are delegating our responsibility, we're also delegating our influence. And I really want us to consider this, be cautious, be wise, that as moms and dads, our influence over our kids, over their mindset, over their character. Whose job is it to train them up and do that? It's us! And it's a divine calling. It's the highest calling that could ever be, is to be a mom and a dad. And don't ever act like it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal! And so to affirm biblical motherhood is to say, God, this is my divine calling. This is part of the reason I even exist and breathe in this world. And so I'm raising these children for you. And it's my job. It's not the pastor's job to raise your kids. It's not Governor Cuomo's job to raise your kids. It's not President Biden's job to raise your kids. It's your job to train up your children in the way of the Lord. And when they get older, they will not depart from it. It's your job. And so don't downplay that. And women that are growing up, you young ladies growing up, if God leads you to take a career, praise the Lord, be a blessing. But make sure you understand that God may have a plan for you in motherhood. And that ought not be set aside and disregarded as nothing, as light. It's a divine calling. And this morning I want to affirm biblical motherhood is a blessing. It's a difficult but noble calling. Proverbs 31 verse 28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. In other words, in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, she considers it a dignity. It's a valuable thing to raise children. It's a dignified position to raise children and take care of them. It's a noble calling. And I'm so sick and tired of these women-led people downplaying motherhood and downplaying it. And now there's this push that women have to be just like men and men have to be just like women. No. Women, you need to be just like women. Be a blessing. Be the best woman you can be. And men, be men. Be the men God has called you to be. But we have this confusing period where we're pushing women to force them into a mold to be like men. And you study it out. That's why we have all the issues with abortion and transgenderism. All of that is behind it. Because one of the most noble callings there is, motherhood, we're trying to erase that out of our society. I'm talking to you. Some people in our government would love to put a limit on how many children you can have because of the climate. Some people would want to maybe, hey, you have to pay it extra or something because you're contributing to a carbon tax or something like that because of how many children you have. This is where we are in our world today. We're downplaying that which God has lifted up for us in biblical motherhood. And so this morning, I want us to understand it's a high calling. It's a dignified calling. And all of us in our families ought to affirm our moms and love them and encourage them in this great calling. But then thirdly and finally, righteous and wise children. Righteous and wise children. It's a great blessing for parents to have children that are righteous and wise. It's a great comfort to know that children walk in the faith. And one reason for a son or daughter to pursue and gain wisdom is that it will make parents glad. Our text tells us in verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And so it will make our parents glad when we walk in wisdom and righteousness. It's an appropriate reward. That's how we can reward our parents, is to cling to wisdom and righteousness. Proverbs 31 verse 25 says, she shall rejoice in time to come. And it's referring to the fact that the virtuous woman that as your children grow up and live godly lives and go on to be successful and to maybe rear up now grandchildren and see them going to Sunday school and singing up in the children's choir and memorizing scripture, that she shall rejoice in time to come. She that bare thee shall rejoice. And so the question then is, how do we produce righteous and wise children? You see, this woman, this virtuous woman, can face the future with optimism and gladness if she knows her children are walking in God's will. So how can we ensure that children walk in God's will? That they're walking in righteousness and wisdom? Well, as parents, we have the wonderful responsibility and privilege to teach them. And we teach them that righteousness and wisdom do not come from us, but they come from God. Righteousness and wisdom come from God. They are found in Him. It's who He is. And that means as parents, we can introduce our children to God and teach them who God is and what God's plan is for their lives. You know, you remember Paul and Timothy, and Paul considered Timothy a son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is commending Timothy for being a great worker, a great servant in the ministry, a great asset in the ministry. But Paul said, you know, Timothy, it didn't really start with you and me, though. It's not based on what I taught you. He said in verse 15 of chapter 3, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, Timothy, your mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, they are the ones, it started with them, that they instructed you about Jesus. They instructed you about the gospel. They taught you the way of salvation. And moms and dads, isn't it a wonderful blessing to teach your children about God? One of the greatest joys of parenthood is praying with my daughter and hearing her memorize scripture and seeing her sing the songs. And that's the highest blessing there is. And so parents have this blessing that you can introduce them to your Savior. You can introduce them to the way of salvation. And I know sometimes it's easy to say, well, let the Sunday school teacher lead them to Christ, or let the pastor lead them to Christ. And of course, we're happy to do that. But wouldn't it be great if mom and dad, you could lead your children to Christ? Some of you maybe have young children, and you have the privilege as they grow older to teach them about the gospel, that we're sinners. And because of our sin, we deserve God's judgment, God's wrath. We're hopeless in our sin because we can't stop sinning. We're bound in our sin. But God is so loving and merciful. He sent Jesus, His only Son, to die on the cross for our sin. And we get to tell Him how with simple faith, when you turn from sin and believe on Christ, He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you and give you eternal life. That's the greatest lesson you can ever teach a child. And moms and dads have the privilege of doing that. And so it's a blessing to teach our children the way of salvation. We think of John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest man who ever lived. Well, you know what? The Bible says in Luke 1 verse 6 that his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were righteous before God. It's a blessing to have parents that set that example. They're righteous before God. You want righteous children? You want wise children? Then we as parents, you as a mom, you as a dad, you must be the example of righteousness and wisdom. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 quickly here, and then we'll close. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This portion of Scripture, the Jews call this the Shema. Literally means to hear. It's their declaration of faith, their confession of faith of all that they believe, and it describes who God is and our duty before God. And we can learn from this Shema this morning in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards, olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be fruitful and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods or other gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And we can continue reading this, but this is the instructions that God gave to parents to share to their children. For time's sake, let's skip down to verse number 20. Verse 27, when thy son asked of thee, and thou asked of thee, and what means the testimony, and the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded thee. Then thou shalt say, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from them, that he might bring us in to give us the land which is swear unto our fathers. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. And note this phrase, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. These are powerful words. Listen, we can apply this for our lives today. Has God done something in your life? Tell your kids about it. Has God delivered you and saved you? The greatest act of redemption, the Old Testament is the Exodus. The greatest act of redemption for us is Christ on the cross. Tell your children. And we tell our children it's for our own good, that God loves us. And if we serve him and follow him, he's honored by that. He will bless us. It's a wonderful privilege to teach our children to walk in wisdom and righteousness. I want to close with a poem that I read this week that I thought was encouraging. Whose gentle voice, when childish heart was pierced by disappointment's dart, did consolation sweet impart? It was the voice of mother. Whose sacrifice, whose smile and tears have brought their blessings through the years in sharing all our joys and cares? The sacrifice of mother. Whose counsel and whose tenderness come back today our lives to bless, to teach us true unselfishness, the tenderness of mother. Whose blessed face and vision bright, like beacon gleaming through the night, is here today to lend us light, the gentle face of mother. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for mothers. Lord, thank you for their sacrifice, their labor of love. Lord, we want to encourage them in the work. Lord, we pray that you would equip them and enable them to do this divine work which you've enabled them to have, that you would give them the power, the strength, the wisdom. Lord, we pray for our families today that we would raise up the next generation that fears you, that knows you, that loves you. That's what you taught the Jewish people in Deuteronomy 6. That's what we need to teach our children today. Lord, it's a blessing to know you, and it's a blessing to serve you. And Father, may we pass that on to the coming generations. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, the greatest gift you can give to your mom is if you decide to serve the Lord, is if you decide to first trust the Lord in salvation. Maybe this morning our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe this morning God's speaking to you about the need for salvation. That you haven't made a decision to trust Christ and repent and be saved. Maybe God's dealing with you now that you want to respond. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? You say, Pastor, I need to be saved. God's speaking to me. I want to get this settled, my salvation. We want to pray for you. We want to show you from the Word of God what salvation is all about. This morning, as our pianist plays softly, can we just spend a few moments praying for our families, praying for moms, dads, and kids alike. Pray that God would strengthen the family, strengthen our homes. Whatever your role is, husband, wife, mother, father, child, may you do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. May we strive for wisdom and righteousness.